Greetings, friends. Today we're going to talk about the fact that sin sucks. That's what we've been talking about in our previous programs. God wants to teach us the lesson that sin sucks, because He wants us to avoid sin. He wants us to see how horrible sin is. So what is a way that sin sucks? In today's program, we're going to talk about the fact that sin sucks joy out of the heart. Sin sucks joy out of the heart. That leaves us with a sorrowful heart. Now notice this in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 16 through 17, how sorrow is a result of sin. This is in Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. After Eve had sinned by taking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God told her not to take of, God approaches Eve and He says to her, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children." Now how does this happen? Well, whenever a woman is pregnant, she has pains from the birth experience. These pains, when she is bringing forth a child, is to remind her that sin brought sorrow into the world. So just like she brings a child into the world through pain, she is to remember that sin was brought into the world, and sorrow was brought into the world as a result of that sin. Now let's go on to the curse on Adam. This is again after Adam had taken of the fruit. God speaks to Adam and says, "Because you have obeyed your wife instead of obeying me, because you have obeyed your wife by eating of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat, therefore cursed is the ground for your sake." Notice this part. "In sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life." So all of the toil that we go through to put food on our table, that's a reminder of how we have broken God's commandment. It would have been easy and joyful for Adam to be in the garden, dressing it and keeping it, but he made it hard on himself because he disobeyed God. So the ground, the hardness of labor that we have to use to produce fruit, that's a reminder of the hard life that we have because we have disobeyed God. It's no longer easy and full of joy. It's hard and full of sorrow. That's the curse. As an example, there are weeds and worms and wild weather. All of that destroys crops. And my wife and I, we have a pretty large-sized garden in our backyard. We've had a portion of our garden destroyed because of too much rain. We've had a portion of our garden in a different year destroyed because not enough rain. We've had many of our crop eaten up by worms. And then also, of course, everybody knows that it is a tremendous burden to try to keep down weeds. It seems like you can do everything imaginable to keep down the weeds, and the only thing you're going to do is end up keeping down your crop. The weeds are still going to grow. All of that hardness of labor is to remind us of the hardness of life because we have disobeyed God. And I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, that God may send sorrow into your life to teach you a lesson. God has definitely done that to me, and He does it because He loves us. But God said, "I will multiply your sorrow." All right? God is the one that did it as a result of their sin, but God is the one that says He would multiply the sorrow. It's to teach us the lesson that sin sucks joy out of the heart. That leaves us with a sorrowful heart. Now notice in Leviticus chapter 26 and verses 13 through 36. We're not going to read all of this. I'll abbreviate it for the sake of time, but for reference sake, we're turning to Leviticus chapter 26 and verses 13 through 36. It talks about Israel, and God says, "I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who brought you forth as free people out of the land of Egypt." if you will not listen to me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or hate my judgments, so that you break my covenant, right? Same thing with Adam and Eve. If you take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, instead of taking of the tree of life, in other words, if you determine for yourselves what's right and wrong, and you go off and disobey me, instead of letting me tell you what is right and wrong, and you obeying me, if you want to go your own way, then this is what I will do to you. I will even appoint terror over you, consumption and burning fever, consuming the eyes, and notice this, and causing sorrow of heart. That was in verse 16 of chapter 26 in the book of Leviticus. Now dropping down to verse 33. And I will scatter you among the nations, and I will draw out a sword after you. Why is he doing this? And your land shall be waste, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy my Sabbath as long as it lies waste, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when you lived on it. In other words, the Israelites were supposed to practice land Sabbaths, but they didn't. They abused the land. God knows what it takes for the land to rejuvenate itself. One of God's divine principles is that every 7 years we should not plant anything in the same place that we have done for the previous 6 years. We should let it rest so it can rejuvenate itself. Because the Israelites were not doing that and other things, God said, all right, when you're kicked out of the land, then the land is going to rest by force. I'm forcing it to rest to teach you a lesson. And again, God will do that to us. A loving God wants us to know that sin sucks. He wants us to avoid it. Now let's look at another principle about how sorrow comes into our lives, how sin sucks joy out of our hearts. This is in Proverbs chapter 13, and we'll read verse 12. This is Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. This is a very, very important principle to grasp. It says, hope deferred, or hope that is not realized when we anticipate it, when we expect it. So if we are desiring something, looking forward to it, if it doesn't happen when we expect it, then what is the result? God says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. We have sorrow. We feel like we're sick. We're brokenhearted. We have a sick heart. That's what happens when we expect something and it doesn't come to pass. We have a heaviness of heart, a broken heart. But notice the opposite. When the desire does come, eventually, it is a tree of life. It's like life coming back into us. Now notice how this principle plays out, where the hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. That's the two ends of the spectrum. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 13 through 14. This is the first book of Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Paul is talking here, and he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are dead. I don't want you to sorrow as others who have no hope. When people die, those who do not have a hope in the resurrection will obviously sorrow because they don't know what's going to happen afterwards. They have this expectation that their loved ones will be with them. And when their loved ones die, because they don't have a hope of a resurrection, they don't know what's going to happen afterwards. They don't know if they'll ever see that person again. So they have that type of sorrow. Others who know what will happen, that there is a resurrection of those who have died in Christ, they have joy. It is a tree of life. We know that these people will come back to life, so that brings joy back into our hearts. Now, let's take a few examples of how hope deferred makes the heart sick. We already talked about death, but what about divorce? Many, many people become very, very depressed, even to the point of committing suicide, when there is a divorce. That's because they have this expectation that they will live together happily ever after. And when the divorce comes, it can be very, very traumatic. Also, we have the disappointment in child rearing, which we talked about. But when we bring forth children, in many, many cases, we have great expectations for them, and to see them turn out as a, say, Hitler, or as a son of Sam, or as somebody who's a drug dealer or a gang leader, that's a great disappointment. It brings heaviness of heart, great sorrow. Or what about if you have a business and you end up in great, great debt to the point where you have to declare bankruptcy? So all of this money, all of this energy you've put into a business, and you had this hope, this dream, this expectation that you would be rich someday, and it all falls apart. And perhaps it fell apart because of the deceit of one of your partners. Maybe one of your partners was embezzling money. And so that deceit, this expectation that you had someone that you were cooperating with, you thought they had your back, you thought they were supporting you, and all the time they were stabbing you in the back. That deceit can lead to great, great sorrowness of heart because we had a certain expectation. And you, I'm sure, have experienced one of these things or something like that. Some kind of disappointment, some kind of debt. You've been deceived before. You've gone through a divorce, or maybe you had a boyfriend and you broke up. Maybe you broke up because his deceit was he was cheating on you. All of those type of things, death, experiencing the death of a loved one, all of these type of things are examples of how hope deferred makes the heart sick. Well, of course, God talks about the fact that there will be no more pain, no more suffering in the world tomorrow when Jesus Christ returns, because he will establish his kingdom here on earth and he will teach people the right way to live. Now, before that happens, though, sorrow will increase greatly. Let's notice in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 3 through 8 that God says that sorrow is going to increase greatly, and it's going to increase in the great tribulation. So this is Matthew chapter 24 verses 3 through 8. As Yeshua sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "What shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must occur, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against nation, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." That's just the beginning. Afterwards comes the great tribulation, when sorrow will have its full. And sorrow will have its full because sin will have its full. This whole earth will be full of sin. And God will allow this because God wants us to see the ugliness of sin for what it is, so that we can be sick of sin. Not sick from sin, but sick of sin, so that we cease to sin. Our loving God wants to teach us that sin sucks. And in our programs, we've covered the four ways that sin sucks. Number one, sin sucks life out of the soul. That leaves us with death. Number two, sin sucks health out of the mind. That leaves us with distress. Number three, sin sucks health out of the body. That leaves us with disease. And number four, sin sucks joy out of the heart. That leaves us with despair.